శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం క్యాంటో 1 చాప్టర్ 3 టెక్స్ట్ నంబర్ 4. పశ్యంత్యదోరూపమదభ్రచక్షుషా సహస్రపాదోరుభుజాన అద్భుతం సహస్రమూర్ధా శ్రవణాక్షి నాసికం సహస్రమౌళీయంబర కుండలోలసత్. ఇన్ దిస్ శ్లోక and from here onwards we will also try to include the anvaya of the shloka. Anvaya means arranging the shloka, which is in the form of a poem, to a sentence form in a logical fashion. So in this way the meaning of the shloka becomes very clear, and some words are added in the anvaya to make it more to make the meaning more logical and clear. So that we will see. The word is yoginah adhabrachakshasha ado rupam pashyanti yat. Yoginah means yogis, adhabrachakshasha means with transcendental eyes, chakshu means eyes, and adhabra means which are not less, which are not scant, transcendental, spiritual. Ado rupam means this form of Supreme Lord which has been described, that means the Purusha avataras, and pashyanti means they see, yat means by. So yoginah adabra chakshushah adu rupam pashyanti yat. That means the yogis see the form of the Purusha avataras, which has been described, by eyes which are transcendental, which have been made transcendental by the process of yoga, bhakti yoga. Now how that form looks, and it says sahastra pado rubhujana adbhutam. Sahastra means thousand. Pad uru. So pada means legs and uru means thighs. So there are thousands of legs, thousands of thighs, and bhuja. Bhuja means hands, and anand means faces. Adbhuta means wonderful. So this form has thousands of hands, thousands of thousands of legs, thousands of thighs, thousands of hands, and thousands of faces. And how they are decorated? So it says sahasra murdha shravanakshi nasikam. So then it has thousands of murdha. Murdha means head, shravan means ears, akshi means eyes, nasikam means noses. And they are decorated sahasra mauli ambara kundalo lasat vartate. That means these forms have thousands of Mauli. Mauli means garlands, and thousands of ambara. Ambara means dresses, and they have earrings in thousands of ears, and ullasat means they are all becoming very, very effulgent and very glowing. So the meaning of the word is, whole shloka is, that the yogis who have adhabra chakshushaha, means who have transcendental vision, they see this form of the Supreme Lord, which is also transcendental, adorupam, with thousands of hands, thousands of legs, thousands of faces, thousands of heads, thousands of ears, eyes, noses, and which are decorated with thousands of garlands, thousands of dresses and earrings. And this all looks very, very astonishing and wonderful. Srila Prabhupada's translation. The devotees with their perfect eyes see the transcendental form of the Purusha, who has thousands of legs, thighs, arms and faces, all extraordinary. In that body there are thousands of heads, ears, eyes and noses. They are decorated with thousands of helmets and glowing earrings, and are adorned with garlands. Actually, if you can see, Srila Prabhupada, when he is translating, he translates using the Sanskrit anvaya. I can see directly, but it is very, very, because if you understand the anvaya, it becomes very easy to understand the meaning of the shloka. So that's why we have included in this lecture. Now Srila Sridhar Swami's comments is very easy to understand. He says, and means he has described the previous form of the Lord as Karunadashaya Vishnu and then Garbhodakashaya Vishnu. So now he says and means not only that this form of the Supreme Lord is there, but it is also seen by the yogis. So, and the yogis see this form of the Supreme Lord directly. So, to explain this, the shloka is being spoken here. So, the link is that not only the form of the Supreme Lord is existing, but it has evidence in the form of yogis directly perceiving it. So, this is the link of the shloka from the previous shloka. It has to be understood. Adabram means not insufficient. That means these eyes have the capacity to see the Supreme Lord directly, direct perception, which means that they have eyes enriched with transcendental knowledge. So they jnana, in the Tika it says jnana chakshutena. That means they have transcendental knowledge or purified vision of consciousness which has developed by Bhakti Yoga. They can able to see the Supreme Lord. Because this form of the Lord has thousands of eyes, that's why it is wonderful to behold. So one should not feel, one should not think that, oh, it has so many hands and so many legs, so it will look very ghastly. No, it has thousands of hands and thousands of legs, but it looks very beautiful. And it has thousands of heads on which thousands of helmets look very beautiful. So there are thousands of helmets and garlands which are decorating the Supreme Lord, and devotees are glorifying Him. Another commentator, Shri Girdhar Lalji, raises a small interesting question that what is the evidence? You have described the Purusha avatars, but what is the evidence of the existence of these Purusha avatars? And how do they look like? And if that question is raised, then this shloka answers that the yogis see this form of the Lord. So that means not only from Shastra, but the direct perception of yogis is the evidence that these Purusha avatars exist. Adabram, he also explained the same way, means a vision which has been perfected or made transcendental by performance of Bhakti Yoga, and such yogis, they can see the form of Purusha. This is how he is explaining now. Srila Prabhupada's purpose. Prabhupada can very clearly see, follow Srila Sridhar Swami's comments, but he elaborates on it. With our present materialized senses, we cannot perceive anything of the transcendental Lord. Please note the word materialized senses. Materialized senses means senses are originally, all of us know, our senses are originally pure. But because if we have a desire to enjoy the matter, that's why we become infected by a disease called avidya, which covers our senses. And that's why our senses are materialized. We are kind of covered by which we cannot understand the supreme nature of the Supreme Lord. Our present senses are to be rectified by the process of devotional service, and then the Lord Himself becomes revealed to us. This is very important. Now, because senses have been materialized, they are infected with avidya, the consciousness is affected with avidya. So, by the process of devotional service, avidya automatically get destroyed. See, whenever we are doing something with devotional service, we are coming in contact with the Supreme Lord. But because we are infected with avidya, we can't understand it. But the effect of coming in contact with Supreme Lord is always there. And that's why slowly our avidya gets destroyed. And to the degree that avidya gets destroyed, the Lord becomes revealed to us. I'll give an example. Just like a person who has cataract. Cataract is a disease of eyes by which a person cannot see the sun. In his both eyes, there is a kind of white layer develops in the eyes by which a person cannot see, which is outside. So, the sun is very much present outside. But because the person doesn't have the capability to see, or rather his vision has been covered by cataract, that's why he cannot see the sun, even if the sun is in front. So, to the degree cataract becomes cured, to that degree the sun becomes revealed to him. Sun is becomes visible to him. That's the point which is explained here. So, that's what Srila Prabhupada is explaining, that to the degree our senses, our consciousness is purified by the process of devotional service, to that degree the Lord becomes revealed to us. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is confirmed that the transcendental Lord can be perceived only by pure devotional service. So, Srila Prabhupada is now making it very clear that what kind of yogis can see the Supreme Lord, because we might think that Ashtang yogis can see the Supreme Lord, but that is not there. And we have added the shloka to clarify it, is 18.55. Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavan yaschasmi tatvatah tato mam tatvato gyatva vishate tadanantaram. It's very easy to understand. Bhaktya mam abhijanati.
only by bhakti, or to the degree we have developed bhakti, a person can understand Krishna, and understand Krishna in truth. And then after knowing Krishna in truth, tato mam tato to gyatva vishati tadanantaram, he enters my abode, he becomes my devotee. So it is confirmed, this is not in Srila Prabhupada's purport, in the sense he has not quoted the Sanskrit shloka, but I have tried to include the Sanskrit shloka so that you can also find reference to what Srila Prabhupada is referring to. So it is confirmed in the Vedas that only devotional service can lead one to the sight of the Lord, and that only devotional service can reveal Him. So the point what we Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing on this shloka is that a yogi who has been referred to in the commentaries here, who can see the Supreme Lord, is the yogi which is bhakti yogi. A person who has bhakti yoga, who's endowed with bhakti yoga, to him only the Supreme Lord becomes revealed. No other process is capable of revealing the Supreme Lord. In the Brahma Samhita also it is said that the Lord is always visible to the devotees whose eyes have been anointed with the tinge of devotional service. That's a very interesting comment. So one time somebody asked Prabhupada, have you seen God? People think that God is an object which is only seen once. But this shloka, Prabhupada says, immediately quoted the shloka which we have seen here, which are seeing here. Premanjana churita bhakti vilo chanena santahasa deva hridayeshu vilo kayanti yamashama sundarama chinta gunaswarupam govindamadipurusham tamham bhajami. If you see the meaning of this shloka's words, it's very interesting. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena. Again, we have seen in this shloka, adabra chakshushaha. Here the words are vilochanena. Lochan means eyes. So by eyes which have been anointed by premanjana. Premanjana means anointment of love of God. Santaha sadaiva hridayeshu. That the devotees are constantly seeing the Supreme Lord. Vilokayanti means very nicely they are seeing. It's not that there is some blurred vision or something like that. Because their heart is clean, Krishna sits in their heart and Krishna can be seen. How he is being seen? What kind of form? So now here, interesting that the form of Supreme Lord has been described in this shloka as the Purushavatar with thousands of hands. Now this shloka refers to Krishna's Shyam Sundar form, which becomes revealed in the heart of the devotee. So he says, Yama Shyam Sundaram. He is seen as Shyam Sundar and Achint Guna Swarupam, who has Achint, that means he has transcendental qualities which cannot be conceived by material intelligence. That kind of qualities, Guna Swarupam. He has those qualities and he has the form of Shyam Sundar, which is Achint, which is inconceivable to material senses. Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So, when a person develops bhakti, the Supreme Lord is constantly visible to him in his heart. And we must understand that is our target, that is our goal, that when we are to achieve love of God, whenever it we can achieve, but by that goal we can always see Krishna. Krishna is always visible, and actually it is our birthright. In a sense, just like it's normal for us to see. If we cannot see, that is a problem. So now, if we can remove the cataract by the mercy of Krishna, by doing bhakti, then we can always see Krishna. That is the thing. In this context, it's a small joke. One time when Prabhupada was giving lecture and somebody said, can you see God? And Prabhupada said, yes, but you are coming in between. And the person, so please sit down. So yeah, that person sat down. So the idea is a devotee is always seeing Krishna, a pure devotee is always seeing Krishna because he has developed bhakti. So, again we continue. So we have to take information of the transcendental form of the Lord from persons who have actually seen Him with perfect eyes smeared with devotional service. Beautiful point. You see, Srila Prabhupada is picking up this point that we don't have, right now, we do not have transcendental vision of the Supreme Lord. But from this shloka, what we are learning is that we, by hearing from those people who have directly perceived the Supreme Lord, we get faith, and following that faith, we worship the Supreme Lord. So it's not that everything we have to see directly and then only we'll have faith. In the material world also, we do not always see things with our own eyes. We sometimes see through the experience of those who have actually seen or done things. Very beautiful point. You see, I had my experience in our farm. So I was staying in Goshala. I am staying in Goshala, and the farm is 15 kilometers away. So some people came and stole sugar cane forcibly. So now the devotee who's there, he had experience with them, and he was relating to me how they came, what they spoke, how they looked like, and with that I was conceiving them how they are not good people or whatever. So I have not got that experience, but because I'm hearing from a person who have that experience, I can also get some, I can conceive of some conception of what has happened. So this happens in this world also. So many places we have not gone, but when we hear about them, then we can understand, okay, these places exist like this. So hearing is a process. So even if we are not able to perceive the Supreme Lord right now, it's still by the direct perception and experience of devotees who have perfected their vision, we can see that. Just like, it's very interesting, the shloka which has been quoted by Srila Prabhupada, Primanjana Charita, that shows that this is the realization of Brahmaji. Brahmaji is not showing, speaking this shloka, learning from somebody else. He knows that, he has seen that, he himself is seeing that, because he has love of God, that they are those who are devotees, who have love for Krishna, they directly perceive Krishna in their heart. This is called Divya Pratyaksha, transcendental direct perception. If that is a process for experiencing a mundane object, it is more perfectly applicable in matters transcendental. So it is very important that even in mundane subject matters, we hear and understand things, even if we have not seen them. So that should be applied in transcendental things also. People say we don't have faith, how to have faith? So we should have faith by hearing from scriptures. And then the scriptures are describing that form to certain extent, not fully. Nobody can fully explain that. But by following scriptures, then we develop bhakti, and by that bhakti we get direct perception. This is how it is there. So the point which is very much highlighted in this shloka is, very nicely Srila Prabhupada explained this, so only with patience and perseverance can we realize the transcendental subject matter regarding the absolute truth and its different forms. Very important, patience and perseverance. Why Srila Prabhupada is saying this? Patience, because again, example of cataract. Cataract means we cannot see properly. So now the doctor is treating us. So slowly, slowly our vision gets restored. So we have to be patient. It's not that today we are doing devotional service and tomorrow we can see the Supreme Lord directly. And we simply cannot remain patient. We have to also do it something. So that the word is perseverance. Because perseverance means even if we don't get success immediately, we cannot get the direct perception of the Supreme Lord immediately, still we should continue with the process of bhakti, and in this way the Supreme Lord will be revealed. So that's what he says, that Srila Prabhupada says that he can realize the transcendental subject matter regarding the absolute truth and its different forms. Krishna is the highest subject matter, highest tattva. So definitely for learning small things, we have to spend 10, 15, 20 years of our life. So now if we want to understand Krishna, we should be also patient, also perseverant. Just like all the degrees which we have got, it's not that we have got the degrees within 1 or 2 years. Rather, if you actually see a person who get a graduation degree, he invests at least 20 years to get a small paper of graduation degree. So understand bhakti also, to understand Krishna, it takes long time. And normally it takes long time. So we have to be patient and perseverant, that we have learning. And also Prabhupada makes a point, he is formless to the neophytes, but his transcendental form to the expert servitor. Beautiful point. Expert servitor means a person who, by following the process of devotional service, has developed love of God. For him, he can even talk with Krishna. And one of the lectures Prabhupada says, it's not simply a matter of theorizing or philosophical speculation, but a devotee can actually talk with Krishna. But we should have the qualification is that you should have love for God. So that love of God would develop by the process of bhakti. So what we have learned in this shloka, that the form of Garbhodakashaya Vishnu and Karanodakashaya Vishnu and Shirodakashaya Vishnu is directly perceived by the yogis who have developed transcendental vision with thousands of heads, legs and like that, and which looks very beautiful. And that is evidence. Their direct perception is the evidence of the existence of Supreme Lord. And Srila Prabhupada explained in the purport that by bhakti only we can learn this, we can enter into the transcendence of Supreme Lord. And again, he gave evidence from Brahma Samhita that those who have love, they can directly see Krishna. And also it proves that Supreme Lord has a transcendental form which is not perceived by material senses and which can only be perceived with patience and perseverance in the path of bhakti yoga.